It was December 1969, and Frederick Whitehurst was assigned to the 635th Military Intelligence Detachment in what was then South Vietnam. He was burning captured enemy documents.
I was standing at a barrel that we burned the documents, and my interpreter's behind me reading the documents over my left shoulder. I can still see it like it was yesterday, and he said, "Don't burn this when it has fire in it already."
What he was reading was the diary of a North Vietnamese doctor named Dang Thuy Tram.
8 April 1968. Operated on one case of appendicitis with inadequate anesthesia. I had only a few meager vials of Novocaine to give the soldier, but he never groaned once during the entire procedure. He even smiled to encourage me. I felt so sorry for him, because stomach is infected. Brushing the stray hair back from his forehead, I wanted to tell him, "Patients like you, who I cannot cure, cause me the most sorrow."
Defying orders, Whitehurst refused to burn the diaries of Thuy Tram. He kept them safe through three tours of duty in Vietnam, until he returned the diaries to Thuy Tram's mother in 2005. Today, they are collected in a book called Last Night I Dreamed of Peace. Whitehurst described to Anne Strangechamps what the diaries looked like.
They were small. They were handmade. It was obvious somebody had put them together from something they had out in the field. I would say 4 by 5 inches at the most. And the covers were pretty crude.
Handmade?
Yes, out of cardboard. It looked like material from some sort of a cardboard box.
4 June 1968. Rain falls without respite. Rain deepens my sadness, its chill making me yearn for the warmth of a family reunion. If only I had wings to fly back to our beautiful house on Low Duck Street to eat with Dad, Mom, and my siblings. One simple meal with watercress and one night's sleep on the old cotton blanket. Last night, I dreamed of peace.
Was keeping the diary against military regulations? I mean, were you supposed to dispose of it?
Yes, I was supposed to dispose of it, and I knew what I was doing was wrong, according to somebody's regulations someplace. And in fact, when I sent them through the mail to my father, I wrote him a letter that I just discovered recently in which I said, if they come and they want to know about these things, tell them I knew what I was doing when I did it. And, you know, whatever they want to do, that's their business.
So you were taking something of a risk, keeping these, something about these diaries, something about Thuy Tram's voice must have really spoken to you. What was it?
She's a beautiful person. She's part of history. What she had to say was very significant. You know, she spoke from her heart to herself, to herself in the third person. She spoke very clearly and bluntly about things that were happening around her. It didn't matter to me that Dang Thuy Tram, you know, was an enemy soldier. I had been pretty much, you don't call it brainwashing, but pretty much trained to see these people as non-human, as their enemy. And in order to kill an enemy soldier, you've got to look at that soldier as not being a human being. Dang Thuy Tram was very human, and so much more of a person than I was or am now.
23 April 1968. A day of utter exhaustion. Three seriously injured soldiers are brought in at the same time. All day I stand at the operating table, the tension in my head building toward the point of bursting. I hear a voice from far, far away singing a sad song. Mother's heart is a vast ocean. Her sweet lullabies as tender as a serene stream. Many mothers will cry until their well of tears run dry. Oh, Mom, what can I say when I love you 100, 1,000, 1,000,000 times over, and still I had to leave your side? The enemy is still here. The immensity, the enormity of our sufferings.
Will you tell us something about Dang Thuy Tram, who she was? What she was like?
She was very romantic. In many of her ideas, she was very patriotic. She underwent terrible, terrible circumstances around her. You know, she sent the soldiers out. They came back to her in pieces. She hated Americans with a passion. We were devils. We were there watering our golden tree, as she says. But she never lost sight of the beauty of the jungle, the love of the Vietnamese people that she was there to protect, the love of her country. She never bent under the storm, if you will. She just continued to stay. She had doubts. The book is full of her doubts. But by the same token, she just never bent under the weight of what was pressed down on her.
16 November 1968. How can I describe all the feelings we have for each other? Standing beside you, I'm in bliss when you take my hand in yours and place in it all your love and trust. Are these things we feel merely some sentiments born of our revolutionary zeal, the bonds of comrades, or the desperate thirst of lonely hearts, the bleeding hearts of this war?
There's a kind of innocence to her writing. Also, she has all these young men. It seems like all the young soldiers fell in love with her constantly. They were falling in love with her, and she writes about them all as her young brothers. It seems like maybe she was infatuated with them sometimes, but in a sort of innocent way, don't you think?
She defines for us the many meanings of love. You know, when my brother, who translated the diary fully initially, and I read it, we said, you know, our first reaction to an American, I think, would be to say, this young lady is, she's in love with everybody. But there are many meanings to love.
Sounds like something of her magic came across the printed page for you, too. Maybe you fell a little in love with her.
You know, I told a Communist Party meeting in Quang Ngai in August of 2005, I said, I found myself falling in love with an enemy soldier, and I couldn't very well tell my officers that I had fallen in love with this lady. And it wasn't, you know, it's not a romantic type love, but it was still something like that. I said, Ed, I told my officers of that. They just sent me home and put me in a hospital someplace. We did a television talk show in Vietnam, and the lady there, Duan, said to us, why did you do what you did with this diary? And I said, she says, essentially, why did you love this lady? And I said, have you read the diary? And when I did, a tear came in her eye. And she said, yes, I've read it. And I said, well, you love her too, don't you? And when she shook her head, the tear let loose down her cheek. I said, you and I are just the same. We're no different.
9 January 1969. Sadness floods over me. Hatred for the invaders presses down 1,000 times more heavily upon my heart. I'm bewildered by the thought of losses and the sufferings that the dear young brothers must endure in their fight against the enemy, day and night, through bombs and bullets. Oh, we'll still suffer as long as those bloodthirsty foes remain here. There's no other way but to crush the heads of those vicious dogs.
You were one of the Americans that she hated.
Yes.
And one of the Americans who killed so many of her friends and could have easily killed her. Does what you've done to publish her book and do something to turn her into a legend, is guilt and atonement part of your response?
Dang Thuy Tram may be one of the bricks in the wall between humanity and war. You know, someone told me we haven't gotten rid of war because it solves a problem. I've been there. It doesn't solve a problem. And if we can, if any one of us, Anne Frank, Dang Thuy Tram, can convince people, can help build that wall between humanity and war, we'll find another solution besides taking lives.
You said her mother has adopted you. You've become part of Thuy Tram's family, even after her death. What is that like, being part of her family, when once you were their enemy?
You know, that is an amazing thing about the Vietnamese. If you try to take from them, they are a vicious enemy, and they are a relentless enemy. But when you go home, then they will follow you home with love. Within the first letter that I got through email from my mother, Trum, the first letter, she said, and I can read it to you, "Now I can't say nothing else other than tell you the unlimited grateful to you, whom from now on I would like to regard as one member of our family." This lady is so beautiful. We put her through so much, and for her to say to my brother and I would like you to be sons of the family, and true sons, there are no American words to describe that. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Our culture doesn't get that, and we have a lot to learn there.
Thank you. Thank you very much for talking. That's a very, very beautiful story in many ways.
Well, you're welcome. And I hope anybody that can read will read my sister's words.
20 June 1970. Sister Lan and Xiang leave, and I stand there looking at them, pants rolled up to their thighs, wading through a stream. My eyes blurry with tears. Suddenly, I recall a line from a poem. "Now immense sea and sky, oh, uncle, do you understand this child's heart?" No, I'm no longer a child. I have grown up. I have passed trials of peril. But somehow, at this moment, I yearn deeply for Mom's caring hand. Even the hand of a dear one or that of acquaintance would be enough. Come to me. Squeeze my hand. Know my loneliness. And give me the love and the strength to prevail on the perilous road before me."
2 days later, on the morning of June 22, 1970, Dr. Dang Thuy Tram was killed by U.S. soldiers on patrol. That was her last diary entry. The diary of Dang Thuy Tram has been translated into English under the title, "Last Night I Dreamed of Peace." The diary was published in Hanoi in 2005 and has become the best-selling book in Vietnam's history. Frederick Whitehurst left the Army in 1972 after 3 tours of duty in Vietnam. He's currently a lawyer in North Carolina.